Right now, we're back with author and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ron Suskind, and we're talking about Ron's latest book, The 1% Doctrine, Deep Inside America's Pursuit of Its Enemies Since 9/11. One of the other real failures of this administration's foreign policies has been the failure to capture Osama bin Laden.
You know, Bobby, we have in the book, I have the specific instance at the end of November in a briefing in the White House with the CIA that was really the point of the spear in Afghanistan. It's the CIA that was largely directing the campaign to get bin Laden, where a CIA advisor, Hank Crumpton, says to the president with others present, "Mr. President, if we don't move forces from other parts of Afghanistan," some had landed at that point elsewhere in the country, 1,200 Marines, they were there, they were available. "If we don't move them to Tora Bora immediately, we really run the risk of losing bin Laden. We will lose him." And the president at that point said, "You're telling me these Afghan proxies are not up to the task?" And Crumpton says, "They are definitely not up to the task. They're not committed to getting bin Laden. They're exhausted. They're cold." And it was a warning in due time, plenty of time to act at the end of November, directly to the president, either move now or you will lose Osama bin Laden. The president did not heed the advice. He clearly was listening to Don Rumsfeld, Tommy Franks, God knows who else. But ultimately, that was an enormous failure in terms of the president making the wrong decision that has profound consequences going forward.
Now, during the 2004 election, I remember Dick Cheney and other leading Republicans just before the election suggesting publicly that a victory by John Kerry would be regarded as a kind of triumph by Osama bin Laden and the al-Qaeda cronies. And people dismissed that, but it was reported widely in the press. But what you found out is that in the mind of Osama bin Laden, that the re-election of Bush was actually a good thing, and that Osama bin Laden released his October surprise message in 2004 specifically to help Bush's reelection.
You know, it's an extraordinary moment, really. You know, look, I am not pro-Bush or anti-Bush. I'm pro-fact. I try to get the disclosures so people can judge them, see them, and make decisions. And here you have an instance a week before, just a few days before the 2004 election, bin Laden sends out his videotape. Inside of the CIA, the folks who really are experts on bin Laden, they've been studying him for years. Of course, they're saying bin Laden does what he does for reasons. He's quite strategically sensible and strategically directed. That's clear. And secondly, everybody agreed bin Laden did an enormous favor for the president today by criticizing mostly Bush and mentioning Michael Moore and mentioning Kerry. I mean, essentially, it could have been an advertisement for the president. And what's interesting is at this moment, the analysis, again, inside of the CIA, that bin Laden clearly from this tape showed that he wanted Bush reelected, that the tape clearly helped the president. It was designed to help the president. If they didn't want to do that, they would have done it differently. And the fact is that in some ways, Bush and bin Laden are, historically speaking, kind of a doppelganger pair. What the polls show, and this is another sort of secret inside poll in terms of the government, is that Bush's ratings rise when bin Laden's presence is a forceful one. That's why the president's mentioning bin Laden at every chance he gets right now with the new election coming. And the same for bin Laden. In some ways, Bush helps define bin Laden. Bin Laden helps define Bush to each of their own constituencies. And when one is vivid, the other's ratings go up. This is something they know inside of the White House. And ultimately, the question not asked, and the question which I think is most important, is what is it about the way the United States has conducted this so-called war on terror that bin Laden would want Bush and his policies continued? That's the $64,000 question.
Right, but it's not a puzzling question at all. This debacle in Iraq has become a recruiting cause for al-Qaeda and associated groups. Osama bin Laden's picture is on T-shirts on the Arab street across the world. Osama bin Laden was intensely unpopular after 9/11. It was only the bungled war in Iraq that has now made him far more popular than Bush across the world. So they are kind of doppelgangers. They're partners that have been feeding off each other at the great expense of the rest of the planet.
Yep. You know, I mean, what's fascinating is if you want to mark a starting point, I think the best place is September the 12th, the day after the attacks. Look, who knows whether we could have prevented the attacks or not. That's debatable. But September 12th was the day that we marshaled ourselves for a response. And at that point, everything's on our ledger. We have control. How will we respond? If you look at September 12th and the few days following it, you see the world allied with us, even the Arab world, saying, what can we do to help? You know, we're getting something superpowers almost never get, which is sympathy and desires to cooperate. That was the moment of breathtaking opportunity in this new kind of battle. Where are we 5 years later? The victories, and we did win some victories tactically in the first 2 years, especially, Bobby, this is important, especially in the realm of human intelligence. That's what wins these battles. It's not the electronic stuff, which I think has been overrated. It's folks saying, I will help, though you might not think I'm inclined to do that. Folks inside of the Arab world, folks close enough to the jihadists to hear something pertinent. We had some of those in the first 2 years. Since Iraq, we've had virtually zero. I mean, it's really quite breathtaking. Human intelligence, which will save us. That's what the British were able to summon, essentially to save our bacon on this London plot. It was a guy, a British citizen, who after the London bombings in 2005 said, that's not my Islam, though he was a fundamentalist. He heard something pertinent. He says, I'm going to report it to British authorities. That's why we were able to, a year later, essentially not have planes blowing up over our cities in the United States. The chance of a person doing that now, in terms of the United States, are all but slim to none by virtue of our angry, blustery, military-based profile. That's not the way you fight this kind of war. You fight it with subtlety, with tactical forcefulness, with a kind of smartness where you say, I want to divide my enemy, not unite them. I want to unite my allies, not divide them. How could we have done anything further from that in the last few years is hard to imagine.